Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. Stars fall from a dark sky, zoom across water, then gather in an arch over a snow-capped mountain. Paramount, a Viacom company. A galaxy of stars swirl and gather into bright circles of light, then form the words Orange Studio. Two bright white sparklers come together and form the letters W and B, Wild Bunch. Sparks of light with comet tails zoom through clouds, then through the night sky, past stars dangling from threads. The comets come together to form a curved shape against a sunset. Animation Studios, an On Entertainment company. Netflix presents a Netflix original film. In a childlike sketch drawn on white paper, a furry four-legged creature comes to life. A snake winds its long body around it.
Once, when I was 6 years old, I read a book about a primeval forest. The book said boa constrictors swallow their prey whole without chewing it. I pondered this deeply, and then I made my first drawing.
A hat.
I showed my masterpiece to grown-ups and asked if the drawing frightened them.
Frightened? Why should anyone be frightened of a hat?
Grown-ups, they never understand anything by themselves. So, I made another drawing.
Elephant.
Yes. My advice is stick to arithmetic.
History and grammar.
I took their advice, and I grew up. I forgot all about being a child until something miraculous happened.
A drawing of a young blonde boy standing alone on a planet surrounded by stars. Title, The Little Prince. Drawn images float by, including a king on a throne, a man at a workbench, and another at a desk.
I've always wanted to find someone to share his story with, but I don't know. I guess this world just got too grown up.
An animated movie.
Good morning.
Descending from the clouds, an aerial view of a busy city is shown. Inside a building, parents sit in a school hall waiting with their children. A sign reads, Worth Academy. A mother whispers with her young, dark-haired daughter.
Back straight. Listening attentively. Listening. No excessive thinking. Listening. Unexpected praise. Acknowledge and thank you. It's a smile, sweetie. Show your teeth. Not too much. Good. Okay. Now remember, exit polling and historical data tell us if the panel is leaning toward acceptance. They will ask only one question. The big question. Are you Worth Academy material?
Yes, I am. Three things make me Worth Academy material.
A door opens and a family walks out. The father cries.
017.
The dark-haired girl gets up, her mother follows. Next, the girl stands alone on stage in a dimly lit auditorium. A panel of judges shuffle through papers. The girl's eyes widen nervously as the judges look through the papers, their faces stern.
We've reviewed your application. Good.
Thank you.
We've reviewed your transcripts.
Thank you.
Thank you. We've read your essay, The Transformative Power of Zero, on the bottom line, and the follow-up, Zero Still My Hero. Yes, you've done your work, everything looks to be in place. We will ask you just one question today.
The big question?
Are you worth Academy material?
What will you be when you grow up?
Her mother gasps.
Yes, I am. Three things make me worth Academy material. One, like Worth, I am sensible. Two, like Worth, I am serious. Three, like Worth, my unwavering concern with faith.
The girl realizes her mistake.
Thank you.
She faints on stage.
Sweetie!
The mother pushes her out of the room in a wheelchair. Parents and children stare. Now they sit in a car. The mother grips the steering wheel, looking upset.
Apparently, they changed the big question. I'm sorry, Mom.
Don't be. We're just gonna have to go to Plan B.
B? You said Plan B was impossible. That's why we went with Plan A.
Plan B is the new Plan A. We're moving forward.
Map.
Neighborhood identified? Check. If by some miracle we can find a house in the neighborhood we can afford, they have to take you.
A sign, house for sale. The mother signs papers, then boxes are loaded in a moving truck.
Check. Moving truck.
Caption, first day of summer vacation. With boxes loaded on top of the car, they drive past the school.
We did it! You're going to Worth Academy whether they want you or not.
Next, they drive through a neighborhood lined with identical box-shaped houses with box-shaped hedges and trees.
No one is ever satisfied where he is. They are pursuing nothing.
They stop in front of a house with a sold sign.
Our new home. Check.
Getting out of the car, the girl sees the house next door, the only different one on the block. It is tall and skinny and covered in ivy. Dozens of birds sit on the roof. The yard is overgrown and a tattered kite floats by.
Is it too late for a Plan C?
Just keep reminding yourself. That house made this house available and made your future possible.
The birds land on their new flat roof. The mother takes a hose and blasts them off.
Mom?
She sprays one last bird.
Do you really think I'm worth Academy material?
You will be by the end of the summer because I've designed a plan. Oh, right on time.
Inside, she reveals a wall-sized board.
I call it your life plan.
Life plan?
Charts, lists, files.
Life plan. We're not leaving anything to chance. Everything's here. Oriented top to bottom, left to right. Let's take a closer look. The minute of the hour of the day of the week of the month of the year of your life. Everything. Got it? It's even got a chart for all your birthday gifts. Like your ninth birthday coming up. Microscope. Perfect for the Worth Academy biology curriculum. It's already wrapped.
Wow.
Yes! Wow! But for now, all your attention should be focused here. The first day of your new school.
Magnet.
You've got 53 days of prep time, which doesn't sound like much until you break it into hours, 1,272, or minutes, 76,320. Only then do you realize how much can be accomplished. You will use those minutes, hours, and days according to this. Because let's face it, you're gonna be all alone out there. All alone. So, we can't afford any more mistakes like the interview.
Right.
You are going to make a wonderful grown-up.
Thank you, Mom.
Car.
I wish I could stay, sweetie, but it's the Davis audit. Again. The Cali numbers on the Miller oversight are still problematic, only this time Fines caught wind of it, now Logan's in a panic, and Fisher wants nothing to do with it.
Logan.
Now I've got to go in
and make it all balance out.
I'm not even sure that's possible.
If anyone can do it, it's you. You go. I've got the life plan.
You're my senior VP.
As her mother drives off, the girl goes back inside. She shuts the door, then reopens it, catching a scent in the air. Carrying a clipboard, she goes back outside and sniffs. Continuing to sniff, she follows the smell across the yard, then opens a gate and heads into the backyard. She looks up at the strange house next door, noticing pulley systems, wind chimes, and a rickety telescope lookout on the rooftop. She keeps walking.
Gas.
She sees a puff of smoke in the sky, then a metal propeller smashes through the fence, across the yard, and through the side of her house. Inside, it spins around, knocking all the magnets and papers off the life plan board. The girl hurries over to a sliding glass door, but it's locked. She peers through, seeing the propeller on the floor and the ruined board. Backing away, she goes to the side of the house, seeing the hole in the wall and fence. She jumps back, startled, when an old man, tall and thin with a long beard, comes through the fence without noticing her. He goes into her house, through the hole in the wall.
Anybody home?
She peers in the hole to see the damaged kitchen, then turns back around to see the old man slide back through the fence, dragging the propeller. Mumbling to himself and still unaware of her, he reaches his arm back through the fence and drags a potted tree in front of the hole. Later, the girl stands outside with her clipboard as a police officer knocks on the old man's door. Neighbors watch and whisper.
I didn't actually believe he had a plane back.
I think the old guy flew away years ago.
I'm just thankful we don't live next door to one.
Roger that.
A rusted old doorknob turns, and the old man opens the door.
Oh. Well, hello there. Very good afternoon to you, officer. Friends!
All the neighbors hurry inside.
I was immersed in a game of bridge. Do you play?
The glass falls out of the old man's monocle.
Sir, did you try to start your plane again?
Yes. Yes, I did. I'm terribly, terribly sorry. I do believe I've caused extensive damage to the house next door.
Downtown? I'd rather not.
Hold on.
He goes inside. The officer motions for the girl to wait on the sidewalk.
What? Found it!
Large jar of pennies.
Sir.
Evening. In the house alone, the girl sits on a box. All the lights are off except a small lamp. Her mother arrives.
Hey, I'm home. I brought Chinese.
Mom?
Oh, hi. Hi. Where did you get the pennies?
The old man next door.
What?
Actually, it was a police officer who gave them to me.
What?
She shows her mother the wall hole.
What kind of a nut keeps an airplane and actually starts it in his backyard? Honey, are you sure you're okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to call the insurance agent.
Done it.
And file a police report.
Done. In duplicate.
Photo documentation?
Inside and outside. The lighting could have been better.
Turning on a dim light.
That's not so bad.
It sparks and goes out.
We'll call a contractor in the morning. And we'll forget the old man even exists.
Forgotten.
By lamplight, the girl organizes her room, unpacking boxes and lining shelves with books. On another shelf, she lines up a collection of snow globes, all different sizes, with the same city office building seen inside. As she stares, one office building seems to come to life. The windows light up, and she sees the silhouettes of dozens of people hunched over their desks working. She shakes her head, and the globe returns to normal. Next, she pins up a Worth Academy poster on her wall and hangs up a school uniform with a skirt, blazer, shirt, sweater, and tie. Then she sits at a desk, opens a large book, and studies. A paper airplane flies in through her open window, landing on her book. She looks up. She looks out the window into the dark night, but sees nothing. Curious, she unfolds the paper. On it is a drawing of a young blonde boy standing on a planet alone, surrounded by stars and writing.
Once upon a time, there was a little prince who lived on a planet that was scarcely bigger than himself, and who had need of a friend.
I thought you could use a friend.
She looks out the window again.
Oh, here I am, up here. Yeah, here.
The old man sits on the rooftop lookout. She shuts the window and blinds.
That's just the beginning of the story. That's okay. Nobody understands it anywhere. All right. Bye-bye. See you later. Maybe.
She throws the paper in the garbage. Morning. The life plan board has been put back together.
He made the most frightful noise ever sounded old.
Hearing their alarms, the girl and her mother sit up and put on their watches, then get dressed, do their hair, and brush their teeth.
Maybe during lunch.
I can roll those pennies.
They both gargle water and spit out toothpaste at the same time. The mother packs her briefcase and heads out to the car. On her windshield, she finds a note with a red rose. Unseen, the old man peers over the fence and watches her read it, then sees her throw them away before getting into her car. In the house, the girl wears workout gear and a sweatband around her head. She does stretches, jumping jacks, jogs on the spot, and lifts hand weights. She slides over an exercise magnet on her life board. The next magnet shows food. She makes tea and eats an apple. She slides over the food magnet and hurries to finish the apple. Next, she studies a book on analytical geometry. She slowly and methodically writes out long math equations. Then when her alarm watch beeps 12, she hurries to finish. Now she dumps out the large jar of pennies, stretches her arms, and gets to work sliding them into paper holders. She tucks in the ends. Checking her finger, she sees a prick of blood. She tips the pennies back out of the holder. She sees a tiny sword, no bigger than a pin. Curious, she puts it aside. In the mound of unrolled pennies, she finds a large marble. Holding it up to the light, she studies the green swirls inside. She puts it with the sword. Sliding her hands through the penny mound, she finds a seashell, putting it up to her ear, then finds a small red rose and a tiny model propeller plane made out of metal. She lines them all up. Next, she uncovers a small figurine. Studying it with a magnifying glass, she sees it is a carving of a young blonde boy wearing a green jumpsuit with a long yellow scarf. She picks up the miniature sword and finds that it fits right into the figurine's hand. She remembers the airplane letter.
Once upon a time, there was a little prince who lived on a planet that was scarcely bigger than himself, and who had need of a friend.
The girl returns to her garbage can, taking out the letter. She smooths out the creases and rereads it.
And I lived my life alone, without anyone I could really talk to, so I learned to pilot airplanes.
A drawing of a propeller plane comes to life and floats across the page, then glides through clouds.
I flew more or less all over the world, until I had an accident in the Sahara Desert.
The plane crashes into a sand dune. An aviator pilot wears a leather jacket and cap with goggles. He gets out of the open cockpit and looks out across the endless desert. Now evening. The aviator sits alone beside the plane. He sees the stars in the night sky and lets a handful of desert sand slide through his fingers. It blows away in the wind. He stares up at the stars. Morning. The aviator wears a white cloth over his head and neck to protect it from the sun. He wakes to see a young blonde boy wearing a green jumpsuit and a yellow scarf.
If you please, draw me a sheep. If you please, draw me a sheep.
The aviator looks around and rubs his eyes.
Draw me a sheep.
When a mystery is too overpowering, one dare not disobey. Draw? I don't know how to draw.
That doesn't matter.
The boy is the same one as in the airplane letter drawing.
The first sheep I drew was too sickly. And the second one, not to his liking either.
Don't you see? That's not a sheep. This is a ram. It has horns.
And this one was...
too old. I want a sheep that will live for a long time.
So I drew this.
He draws a box with air holes along the side.
The sheep you asked for is inside.
That is exactly the way I wanted it. Do you think the sheep will eat a great deal of grass? Because where I live, everything is very small.
Well, I'm sure there'll be enough grass for him. He's a very small sheep.
Not so small that... Look, he's gone to sleep.
The girl puts down the letter. She peers out her window. Now in the backyard, she moves aside the potted tree and stands in front of the fence hole. She glances around, then puts the letter between her teeth to free up her hands and crawls through the fence and the hedge growing up against it. She comes out the other side of the hedge and into the old man's large overgrown yard. She sees an old propeller plane. She walks along a stone path, winding through the bright yard filled with fruit trees, birds, and flowers. As she passes, she glances at a sculpture, an old bicycle with a revolving umbrella on top, looking like a mobile wind chime. She makes her way toward the rusted plane. The old man works on the engine while listening to an antique gramophone record player. He doesn't hear her, so she moves closer.
Hello? Hello?
Startled, the old man jumps up. He wears an aviator's leather cap and goggles. He lets go of a parachute and it shoots in the air.
Hold on. Well, hold on.
Sitting on the ground now, the girl watches the colorful parachute drift back down. The old man sits beside her, and it lands, covering them both.
Wow.
Pulling the parachute off, they both laugh.
I just wanted to give your drawing back.
Oh, you didn't like it?
No, I did.
No, it's not very good, is it?
I think it's nice.
I read the story, too. Attentively. And I found it quite odd.
Odd?
I mean, curious or interesting. I guess I have some issues with some of the facts.
Oh. You have questions?
I don't mean to be rude, can I?
What, be rude? Sure. Go ahead. What you got?
Well, first of all, what was a kid doing there in the desert? That's very strange. No one can last very long in a desert without food and water. Where are his parents? Does he even go to school? Does he really live up there? Because I took basic astronomy, and there was no mention of life or children on any other planets. Unless it's true that it came from a star, but that seems improbable.
Not a star. An asteroid. Asteroid B612.
Oh, we didn't cover asteroids.
But the fact that he wanted a sheep, that pretty much proves that he exists. Don't you think?
He loads his gramophone into a wagon and pulls it back to the house. The girl follows him. Inside, he opens the curtains.
Hold on, I just gotta find you another drawing.
The cluttered room has stars, airplanes, and glass balls dangling from the ceiling. Books are stacked everywhere, and the room is filled with antiques and collectibles.
Mysterious fire hazard.
Huh, I never looked at it that way.
Where did you get all this stuff?
Oh, well, as you live, you know, some things just kind of stick to you. There's a name for it.
Collecting?
Hoarding. That's it, hoarding. That's what I am, a hoarder. A bit of a hoarder.
She finds a stuffed animal on a shelf.
Aww. What's your name, little fox?
Oh, he can't answer you. Keep meaning to sew him in mouth.
She sees the hand-sewn fox move. The old man lies on the floor.
Are you okay?
Oh, I'm fine. This happens sometimes. Just need a minute. Although the last time this happened, I was down here for 3 days.
3 days?
That's okay. That's why I always keep a sandwich in my pocket. You want a bite? Bologna.
I think I'm bologna intolerant.
I think it's baloney.
Later, outside, the girl sits on an old car tire attached to a rope pulley system. She holds the fox.
It'll be a clear night.
The old man hoists her up to the rooftop lookout. She squints her eyes as the sun shines over the roofs of the neighborhood houses.
Stars will be out soon.
He helps her onto the platform, and they watch the sunset.
And the little prince. He was very fond of sunsets. One day, he saw 44 of them.
What?
His planet. It was so small, all he had to do was move his chair a few steps to see another one.
Oh.
But a small planet also had drawbacks. He needed a sheep to eat the baobab sprouts.
Baobab?
Yeah. It's a very greedy tree. And every day, he toiled to stop them from turning up. For if you intervene too late...
Catastrophe.
Now, luckily, there are good seeds, too. And one day, from a seed blown from no one knew where, a new kind of sprout came up.
The little prince waters it, then lies down next to the single sprout.
I know you'll be miraculous. I know you will.
Night falls and he sleeps. As the sun rises, a beautiful red rose blooms from the sprout.
Oh, how beautiful you are.
I'm only half awake. Forgive me, I'm still quite disheveled.
You're perfect.
Am I not?
Huh.
I was born at the same moment as the sun.
It was there they shared their first sunrise. And their first sunset.
It's very cold where you live.
Oh.
The prince puts a clear glass dome over the rose.
If you would have the kindness to think of my needs.
But the rose began very quickly to torment him with her vanity.
I suppose you wouldn't have a screen. And at night, I want you to put me under a glass.
A glass glow.
Now.
My needs. My beauty.
My screen.
Now, the shame of it was that they loved each other. But they were both too young to know how to love.
The prince looked sad.
Full of doubt, he ran away.
Of course I love you. If you're not aware of that, it's my fault. Please forgive me.
The prince grabs onto strings attached to a flock of birds and flies away. The girl puts down the story.
He left her? All alone? But where did he go?
Well, he didn't know at the time, but his leaving was just the first step on a journey back to her.
Really?
Yeah. Look at that. The stars are out.
He adjusts a telescope and the girl peers through. The dark sky is filled with stars.
Wow. They're so bright.
Ah, there's so many to look at. And on a good day, if I listen carefully, I can hear him laughing up there.
The old man's eyes slide closed. The girl glances at him, then looks back to the starry sky.
No, I gotta go.
Coming back through the fence, she still carries the fox. She hurries back into the dark house, seeing the pennies still sprawled across the table.
Sweetie, where are you?
She runs up to her room. Her mother is waiting.
Oh, hi. Your desk is a mess. Did you finish your study work for today?
Not exactly.
Well, what have you been doing?
I've read a lot, and I made a friend.
A friend? No.
Her mother checks the life plan board.
No. Nope. Maybe. Yes. Okay.
She makes a friend magnet.
If you study hard and you stay completely on track with the plan, you can spend some time with your new friend. Next summer, on Thursdays, from 1 to 1:30. Okay. Can't wait to meet her.
In bed, the fox is tucked in with the girl. She turns on a headlamp flashlight and spreads more story pages out to read.
He found himself in the neighborhood of asteroids 325, 326, 327.
The prince hangs on to the bird strings. They take him to an asteroid planet with a sleeping king on a throne.
Oh, it is a subject. Approach.
Sire, over what do you rule?
Over everything.
And the stars obey you?
They certainly do. I do not permit insubordination.
I would very much like to see a sunset. It would remind me of my rose. Could you order the sun to set?
The king drops his scepter, then quickly grabs it.
You shall have your sunset. I shall command it. But I shall wait till conditions are favorable.
When will that be?
This evening, about 20 minutes to 8.
The prince flies away with the birds, landing on another planet with a man in a striped suit and a hat.
You're wearing a funny kind of hat.
It is a hat for salutes, actually, to raise when people acclaim me. Clap your hands, yeah. Oh, thank you. Ah, oh, see? Do you really admire me very much? Am I not the handsomest, the best dressed, the richest? I'm the most intelligent man on this planet.
But you're the only man on this planet.
Do me this kindness and admire me just the same. Please.
On the next planet, a large bald businessman sits at a cluttered desk covered in papers.
I own the stars. I administer them. I count them, then I recount them.
But what good does that do you?
Well, it does me the good of making me rich. How's that?
And what good does it do you to be rich?
It makes it possible for me to buy more stars. Plus, anything else you can think of.
The prince flies off.
Grown-ups are certainly very, very odd.
Morning. The girl sits at the kitchen table watching her mother organize the board. The girl drinks from a glass and sees the board through the bottom. She watches her mother move the day's magnets. The image shifts into a planet covered in a checkerboard. Her mother pushes magnet pieces around. Later, the girl lies on the grass next to the old man.
Grown-ups are certain. Very, very odd.
I've lived a great deal among grown-ups. I've seen them intimately close at hand, and that hasn't much changed my opinion of them.
Well, I'm not so sure I want to grow up anymore.
Growing up is not the problem. Forgetting is.
I definitely don't want to forget.
Well, I managed to grow up, and I never forgot the little prince.
They run around his yard, flying a kite. Against the wall of the girl's house next door, the kite shadow turns into a propeller plane, then into the prince, holding on to his bird strings. The kite crashes into a tree, getting stuck in the leaves. The prince walks in the dark, alone on a dirt planet. He looks over and sees the sand and dirt move into a spiral shape.
Good evening.
A snake emerges from the spiral.
Good evening.
What planet is this?
This is Earth. This is Africa.
Where are all the men? It is a little lonely in the desert.
It's also lonely among men.
You are a funny animal. You are no thicker than a finger.
But I'm more powerful than the finger of a king.
You haven't any feet. You cannot even travel.
I can carry you further than any ship could take you.
The snake winds up the prince's leg, knocking him down.
I can help you someday if you grow too homesick for your own planet.
I think I understand you.
In the old man's yard, the girl climbs the big tree to get the kite.
There you go. Cut that one on the left there.
I'm scared.
That's normal. It is scary. Why do you think I said you? Almost there. You got it now. Just reach. Reach for it.
I got it!
There you go, you got it!
She slips and falls to the ground.
Oh. Oof. Well, that was double scary, huh?
Triple and quadruple.
Scratched hands.
We're gonna have to amputate.
What?
He cleans her cuts with antiseptic.
Feels better, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He blows on her hands. The prince walks through long grass, then lies down.
But it happened that after walking a long time through sand and rocks and snow, the fox appeared.
A fox crawls out of a den in the side of a grassy hill. He stretches and yawns, then cleans his paws. The prince watches closely. The fox sees him and scurries behind a tree.
Come and play with me.
I cannot play with you. I'm not tamed.
What does that mean?
Tame means to establish ties. To me, you're still nothing more than a little boy who's just like 100,000 other little boys. And I have no need of you. And you have no need of me. To you, I'm nothing more than a fox like 100,000 foxes. But if you tame me, then we shall need each other.
They move closer to each other, and the prince kneels down and reaches out his hand. At home, the girl checks her alarm watch and looks up at the life plan board. She takes the watch off, leaves it on the table, and heads outside. Now she sits under the old man's big tree, reading the prince story. He dangles upside down from the tree, surprising her. In the grassy field, the prince and the fox sit side by side. Inside the old man's house, the girl has a paintbrush and paper. The old man uses another paintbrush to freshen up the button eyes on the stuffed fox. Next, he turns the lights off, and the girl's paper glows with fluorescent stars. Other drawings and designs are all around the living room, glowing in the dark. They chase each other through the house. Next, she sits in the open cockpit of the rusted old propeller plane, pretending to fly. She wears the aviator's leather cap and goggles. The old man takes her picture with an old-fashioned camera. Then he takes a picture of them together. Later at home, the girl is tucked in bed and her mother turns off the light and shuts the door. The ceiling glows with painted stars. The stuffed fox is covered in fluorescent designs. In the fox's den, he snuggles up to the prince.
To me, you will be unique in all the world. And to you, I'd be unique in all the world.
They fall asleep. The next afternoon, the girl hurries back from next door and moves magnets on her board just before her mother arrives, making it look like she's finished her schedule. The girl sneaks out of the room, sighing as her mother walks in and inspects the board. The prince and the fox chase each other through wheat fields, then into a garden. The prince stops when he sees vines covered with beautiful red roses. He moves closer and looks at all the blooms growing up a trellis fence and overhead.
Who are you?
We are roses. We are roses.
My rose is just a common rose. But she told me she was the only one of her kind in the whole universe.
Fox.
But she is not a common rose. She is your rose. It is the time that you have devoted to her that makes your rose so important.
She's my rose.
You must return to her.
The prince kneels down and pats the fox. Now the prince sits under the tree near the fox's den. The fox lies beside him.
Oh no, you're gonna cry? My taming you has done you no good at all.
The fox snuggles into him.
Let me make you a present of a secret. It is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye.
The girl lies on the floor of the old man's living room reading.
They won't be together anymore?
But they will. The fox, he sees the little prince when he looks with his heart. If you can do that, you'll never be lonely again.
Right, but I'm not lonely. I've got you now.
Oh, I'm so lucky. I thought I'd never find anyone who wanted to hear my story. Then you came along, just in time.
He hangs a model airplane.
Wait, what do you mean, just in time?
Well, everyone has to say goodbye, sooner or later.
You're leaving?
Well, what if I get that old plane running? And what if it's time for me to, go be with the little prince?
But he already has his rose. And I need you here.
Hey, you hungry? I know a great place where we can get free pancakes on your birthday.
But my birthday's not for 2 weeks.
They don't know that.
The old man backs a beat-up old car off the front lawn.
It's like flying a plane.
Like the one you crashed?
Exactly.
He drives slowly down the street on flat tires. Flowers grow out of the back windowsill. In slow motion, a blue butterfly with black edges flies through the car. They both smile with delight.
Qui se balance entre les balles.
The old man is busy watching the butterfly and doesn't see a stop sign. The police officer sits in his patrol car nearby and sees the near accident. He sees the patrol car in his dirty rearview mirror. He pulls over, hitting several trash cans.
Do you have a driver's license? Learner's permit?
Oh!
How old are you? Hi, officer!
You obviously started your car. Again.
Good afternoon, officer. If I may interject for a moment, did you know it's my birthday?
Now the girl waits in her driveway with the officer. Her mother arrives.
Mom, I can't...
Wait for me inside.
But...
Now!
Ma'am, I'm very sorry to pull you away from work. Apparently, they were going to get pancakes.
The girl watches through the window. The mother talks with the officer, then walks towards the old man's house. The girl sits in the dark. The mother returns, carrying the stuffed fox, and goes straight to the life plan board.
Mr. Fox.
According to this, you're still in bed. Asleep. Yesterday.
Friend magnet.
Your friend doesn't even have a driver's license? Oh, no. They took it away after the fourth time he drove away with the gas pump attached. You could have been killed.
Mom, I can explain.
No. You mean you can lie.
But...
You've been lying to me. You lied to the police officer. Oh, yes, right. Before I forget, happy birthday. You even managed to lie to your life plan.
That? That is just a wooden box full of magnets. Sometimes I think you care about it more than me.
You're wrong. I care about it as much as I care about you. It is you. This is your life. And I'm the only one taking any responsibility for it.
That's your version of my life, not mine. If you were ever around, you'd see that.
You know full well why I have to work so hard.
You're just like him now. Too busy, always working. How long until you completely disappear?
The mother's eyes widen, then she picks up the Prince story.
I believe that for his escape, he took advantage of the migration of a flock of wild birds.
She rips it in half and throws it in the trash.
Enough of this nonsense. You have 2 weeks to focus on what is essential.
The girl looks sad as her mother takes out stacks of books and puts them on her desk. The girl writes lines of complicated math equations. Later, her mother checks to make sure she's working. Morning. Sitting at her desk, the girl looks out the window and sees the rooftop lookout. Her mother comes in the room and closes her blinds, adding more textbooks to her pile before she leaves.
Will I ever know how what is?
Now days turn into night and back into days. Magnets get moved around the board. The girl sits at her desk with stacks of textbooks day after day. Outside, the stuffed fox and the Prince story are in the trash. Stars move across the night sky. The girl continues to get up with her alarm and keep to her life plan schedule. One morning, she gets up and walks down to the kitchen. A cupcake with a candle is on the table next to a microscope and wrapping paper and a special delivery box. She opens the box, and another city snow globe is inside with a note that reads, "Love, Dad." Looking sad, she places it on her shelf with all the others. Evening. The girl wears her headlamp flashlight and goes outside, fishing the fox and the story out of the trash. She tapes the pages back together. In the desert, The aviator drinks his last drop of water. He wipes away sweat, then sits in the shade of his propeller plane. The prince arrives.
Let's look for a well.
In the hot sun, they walk across the desert sands. The prince takes the aviator's hand. Later, looking hot and tired, they stand on a sand dune and watch the sunset. As the sun dips out of sight, the desert becomes dark. They sit down side by side.
The stars are beautiful because of a flower that cannot be seen. What makes the desert beautiful is that somewhere it hides a well.
In the moonlight, I looked at his pale forehead, his closed eyes, his locks of hair that trembled in the wind. And I said to myself, what I see here is nothing but a shell. What is most important is what is invisible.
The aviator carries a sleeping prince. A bucket falls in water.
We found a well at daybreak.
He offers it to the prince first, then takes a long sip for himself.
The men where you live grow thousands of roses, and they do not find what they are looking for. What they are looking for could be found in a single rose or a little water.
The prince runs around, his arms held out to the side like airplane wings. At home, the girl lies in bed, staring at her ceiling. She clutches the story. She knocks on the old man's door.
Hold your horses.
She has a suitcase.
Let's go look for a well.
No, listen. I made a big mistake the other day. You can't come over here anymore.
It's okay. This will be the last time.
What?
Come on, let's go get that plane running.
She goes in, pulling the suitcase, then heads for the plane.
I figured if you guys manage to walk into the desert and find a well, then we can go and find the little prince.
Her suitcase into a hole in the side of the rickety plane.
Wait, little one. We can't just take off.
You're right. We're going to have to fix that wing first.
No. I'm sorry, but when the moment does come for me to leave, I have to go alone.
But I won't be any trouble, and I won't take up much room in the plane. I promise. Don't go without me.
I think it's time I told you the end of the story. That evening, I finished fixing my plane and I went to find the little prince.
I shall be there tonight. Wait for me. You're sure I won't suffer too long?
As the aviator approaches the prince, he sees a snake. He pulls out a gun, but fumbles and drops it.
Did you shoot it?
Oh, it disappeared among the stones.
What happened?
Somehow. He knew that I had fixed my plane.
The aviator hugs the prince.
I too am going back home today. It is much farther. It is much more difficult. I am afraid.
I can't believe I'll never hear you laugh again.
I'm going to make you a present. And one of those stars, I shall be living. In one of them, I shall be laughing. And so, when you look up at the sky at night, it'll be as if all the stars were laughing. Tonight, do not come.
You didn't let him go. Not to the snake.
It wasn't my choice. It was time for goodbye.
You understand, it is too far. I cannot carry this body with me. It'll be like an old abandoned shell. There's nothing sad about old shells.
They walk hand in hand through the dark.
Here's the place.
I shall not leave you.
The prince's hand slips out the aviator's, and he walks into the dark night alone. In the distance, the prince stops, standing still. The snake slithers closer and bites him. He tumbles to the ground.
But...
The girl's eyes widen, and she puts down the story, turning away from the old man.
You said he's up there, didn't you? Back with his rose?
Well... It is as he said. I look at the stars, and I hear him laughing.
But you don't know for sure.
Well, it would comfort me very much to know for sure, but instead, I choose to believe he's up there.
Is that what you want me to do when you go?
Just look up to the stars?
And make believe that you're not gone?
Oh, but if you look with your heart, I'll always be with you. It's just like I know the little prince will always be with his rose.
But you can't know for sure.
What if he's not back with his rose? What if he's all grown up and alone?
Oh, but
what if he's lost and he's forgotten everything?
Wait. Sweetheart, the little prince will never forget. He'll always be up there. For us, to help us.
I don't want his help. I hate the little prince. I wasted my whole summer on the little prince.
But
I wish you had never told me this stupid story.
She throws the fox and the story pages onto the floor, then grabs her suitcase and runs out. The old man stands in his living room looking sad. He glances down at the pages covered in writing and hand-drawn pictures. At home, the girl stands on a ladder and vacuums the stars off her ceiling. Caption: The last day of summer vacation. It pours with rain. The girl and her mother are in the car, waiting in a long line of traffic. The girl looks out the window with sad eyes, watching people at a bus stop standing under umbrellas. Now they drive through their neighborhood. As they get closer to home, they see emergency vehicle lights flashing. A group is gathered outside.
Oh dear.
As her mother stops the car, the girl leaps out and runs toward the old man's house.
Penny, where?
She sees the old man on a stretcher. Paramedics load him into an ambulance, then drive away. The crowd, all huddled under umbrellas, walk off, and the girl stands on the road alone. She turns to look at her mother waiting in the driveway. She runs away.
Sweetie, no!
She bumps into a child on a bike, and they both fall to the ground. She gets up and takes the bike, riding after the ambulance. Rain pours down, soaking her as she pedals as fast as she can. Her mother drives up behind her.
Sweetie, stop! What are you doing?
Ignoring her, she keeps pedaling. She arrives at the hospital and hops off the bike, leaving it at the front door. Inside, she sees doctors and nurses rushing the old man down a hallway.
Stop! You can't go! Please, I need you here!
No!
Please, you've got to let me see him! What happened to him? Is he gonna be okay?
Doors close. A nurse stops the girl from following any further. Later, the girl sits in the car, staring out the rain-streaked window.
Let's not forget. Tomorrow's an important day.
They drive past the school. As they pull into the driveway, the girl jumps out of the car and rushes inside before her mother even turns off the car. Inside, the house is dark. She shuts her bedroom door and wipes tears from her eyes. She looks over to her shelf of snow globes. She reaches up and takes one off the shelf. Behind it is the prince figurine, the mini plane, and Rose.
The aviator needs you. I'm gonna find you.
She turns on her bedroom light. Her mother comes up the stairs and sees the bedroom light shining under the door. She reaches out to knock. Inside, the girl hears her mother's footsteps and turns off her light. The mother sees it go out and walks away. Inside the room, the girl opens her window and climbs out, holding a flashlight. She reaches for the drain pipe and hangs on. She drops her flashlight. Then the drain pipe fasteners come loose and it detaches from the house, falling. She clings tight. Her eyes open. She is on the ground, near the hole in the fence. She sees lightning flash through the hedge. She crawls through to the old man's yard and sees the plane lit up by the flashes of lightning. She climbs into the open cockpit, finding the fox and the prince story waiting. On the dashboard is the photo of her with the old man. She glances at the fox.
Do you know how to fly a plane?
The toy shakes its head.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Okay, well...
The fox brings her the leather aviator's cap and goggles.
Yes. Yeah, I can do this. Here, hold these.
She sits the fox on top of the story pages. She starts the engine and the propeller starts to spin. A series of pulleys and levers are set in motion and the gramophone player slides over and plays a record.
Don't let it bother you, bother you.
The record sets off another chain of the old man's inventions. Readying the plane, the girl watches wide-eyed. A runway is unrolled across the yard with Christmas lights along each side. She watches in amazement and puts on the goggles. A mechanical butterfly comes out from an upstairs window. It has scissors attached that cut the final cord and catapult the plane forward. Everything will be okay. The girl fastens a seatbelt as the plane bounces along the makeshift runway toward a fence. She covers her eyes. Just before they hit the fence, a garden gnome is triggered and the fence panel falls flat. The plane glides through and takes off. She flies over the rooftops, steering the plane to avoid electrical wires. The plane dips and swerves as she tries to control it, bumping into trees and knocking off a satellite dish. She flies straight towards the school, lifting the plane to avoid hitting it. High above now, she rolls the plane upside down and back again. She spirals through the storm clouds. One of the story pages catches the wind and flies out. The fox jumps out to grab it.
Gotcha!
She pulls him back in. They fly smoothly through the night sky.
Where are the stars?
The fox shrugs.
What is that?
They see a single bright light in the sky.
A star? Wait a minute. That's no star.
They fly towards a cluster of lights that turns into a busy city with tall office buildings, cars, traffic, and people walking along crosswalks. They fly overhead, and the girl takes out a telescope, peering through.
The aviator never mentioned this place.
She swerves to avoid hitting a tall metal structure.
Could it be?
Telescope. She sees the prince.
It's him! It's him! What is he doing here? Buckle up.
She zooms through the city and between the tall office buildings. The fox covers his button eyes. She swoops over the city traffic jam.
We need a gap. I think I see one up ahead.
The fox looks out over the traffic. A driver sees the low-flying plane and crashes his car.
Prepare for landing.
She comes in for a landing. She looks out and realizes she has landed on top of a bus.
Oops.
The bus stops suddenly for a red light. The plane topples off and onto the street. Cars and pedestrians stop to stare.
That wasn't too bad. Look, up there!
She points to a tall building. A police car speeds by, sees the plane, and turns around, making his way back towards them.
Step out of the vehicle!
She stands on the plane wing.
I said step out of the vehicle!
I'm very sorry, officer. If I could just explain.
Keep your hands where I can see them.
The officer walks toward them with a ticket book.
Unsafe speeding, unsafe lane changes, unsafe everything.
What?
Running multiple red lights.
Please, I'm just trying to find my friend.
Destruction of city property.
Well, a friend of a friend. We've never officially met.
No use of turn signal. No signals at all.
Anyway, I'm just going to grab him and I'm going to take him home.
Oh, attempted kidnapping. Let's add that to the list. Attempted kidnapping.
Hey, are you...
She claps and he blushes, tipping his hat. It's the man who wore the striped suit.
A conceited man.
Insubordination to a uniformed officer of the law, no less. Me.
Wait.
He handcuffs her.
Why are you not on your planet?
The handcuffs slide off.
Oh, you. Why are you so small?
Because I'm a child.
That is absolutely not allowed here.
Let's go.
Hey!
She runs and the fox follows.
Not so fast.
Look!
He grabs her and the gathered crowd claps. As he steps to take a bow, the girl gets away.
God.
She arrives at the tall office building she saw in the distance. Men and women file in and out. She turns to the fox.
We're gonna need a disguise.
Next, she struggles to pull open the heavy glass door and finally gets inside. She wears a white scarf on her head, tied under the chin and the fox draped around her neck. She carries the aviator's cap like a purse. She watches all the workers shuffle around the building. She makes her way through the crowd.
Excuse me. Pardon me. Oh, sorry.
The elevator doors open. She sees the operator.
Here are my subjects. Approach.
Is that the king?
She squeezes in the elevator full of workers.
14th floor.
Certainly.
142nd floor.
Of course.
34th floor.
Happily.
Oh, no.
Top floor, please.
The operator glares.
What? Top floor?
When conditions are favorable? Your Majesty?
Well, conditions are favorable.
A scepter pushes the button.
It is done.
Now she hurries onto the building's flat rooftop. She peers around the big industrial pipes and vents and thinks she catches sight of the prince. She sees a silhouette in the mist.
There he is!
She rushes toward him.
Little prince!
She startles a blonde man working. He wears a green uniform with a long yellow tie. He falls over.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm okay.
His equipment falls.
Oh, my shin.
Are you okay?
Yes, yes. No, I was just taking a little break. That's all.
Oh, I thought you were someone else.
You dead? Oh, that's great. That's great. Please don't report me. Break's over. See? I'm working. Oh. Work. No need to report me.
It wasn't him. What are we going to do?
The fox finds an ID badge.
Mr. Prince? Can it be? Excuse me.
He cleans the vents. His brush breaks.
Oh, man. Darn it.
He slips and falls.
I think you dropped this.
My badge. Oh, catastrophe.
It is him.
Can I...
What happened to you?
Give me that.
The evader's not gonna like this. You're not supposed to be like this.
Come on, give me that. Thank you.
He puts on his ID and collects his cleaning equipment.
Oh, I'm working. See? I'm being essential.
Wait, stop!
No, don't talk to me.
I know who you are. You're the little prince, and you're afraid of baobabs.
No, I'm Mr. Prince, the maintenance man, and I'm afraid of the businessman.
You've been an aviator in the desert. Hey, Drew, are you a sheep?
You ask too many questions.
You also travel with a flock of migrating birds.
Go away. Excuse me, I'm very busy.
You tamed a fox. A fox like him.
Never had a pet.
He wasn't your pet. He was your friend.
What, does it look like I have time for friends? I'm working.
He cleans a chimney and drops a brush down it.
That was my last brush. I'm going to get fired. This was my last chance. This is so unfair. I was doing my job.
Actually, there's one more.
Oh, thank you. Now I have to get back to work.
Wait!
Oh, man. You know what? You're slowing down my productivity.
You had a rose.
Oh. What?
A rose. A really beautiful one. Miraculous, even. One that was unique in all the world.
His eyes widen.
You know what? I've heard quite enough of this nonsense. I have to work. Thank you.
You've forgotten everything!
I'm very busy with matters of consequence.
You've become just another grown-up!
Give me that.
Fighting over the brush. The brush flies out of their hands and lands near the edge. It rolls off the roof.
Oh... Why did you do that? Why did you do that? It's all right. I don't need to cry. I don't need to cry. I'm a grown-up. I'm a grown man. My brushes got knocked over. I don't need to cry.
His gloves fall off. The girl brings him a tissue.
Hello.
She holds it while he blows his nose.
Wait a minute. Why are you so short?
Are you really old?
What? No. I'm a child. Just like you're supposed to be.
You're a child? Oh, children are certainly very, very, very odd.
This is not good.
I think I know someone who can help.
Are you sure about this?
They arrive at a dark city building with Roman columns and steep front steps leading to giant doors. A dark-haired man with glasses and a mean stare opens the door.
Mr. Prince, what a pleasant surprise.
Oh. This child needs your help.
Ah, does she? Yeah, we don't normally allow little dogs. But for you, we will make an exception, won't we?
He scratches the fox under the chin.
Delightful. Come in.
So,
So how have you been?
Oh,
things good? I love my job cleaning the roof.
That's wonderful, yes.
Inside, objects including a piano, boat, and bicycle dangle from wires. The bike is pulled into a square machine, coming out as paper clips.
Anything inessential
must be made essential.
Well done, Mr. Smith.
A canoe is shredded.
You see, it's really a magnificent thing the businessman has created here. You might even call it a work of art.
Dark room.
But of course you'd be wrong.
Desk.
Very, very wrong. Nothing so trivial as that.
A plane!
It's much more important, much more essential.
She is locked to the desk.
No, wait! How could you? You said you would help.
I am. That's how they help me.
Graduation photo.
Mr. Prince! It seems that you've finally done something.
The fox pulls at the teacher's pant leg.
Right.
You will tell the businessman, won't you? How essential I've been?
Yes, I most certainly will.
He puts the fox in the trash.
The businessman told me about this evidence of childhood you brought with you.
Please, those are important.
No.
Prince story.
Nothing essential in here at all.
Putting it in the trash.
It is time to grow up.
Textbook, the essential guide to all that is essential.
How could everything essential fit into just one book?
It is incredibly succinct and single-spaced.
So what? I'm supposed to read this over and over and over until I'm old?
Not at all. Here, we take a more accelerated approach to growing up.
Flipping a switch.
Isn't that right, Mr. Prince? No, never mind. Look at that blank look. You've forgotten everything, haven't you?
A wall opens, resembling a mouth with jagged teeth. The teacher pulls and pushes on levers, and the girl's desk moves forward. The mechanical arms reach out and shove papers at her.
Yes, 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 please sign there. Standard consent form releasing myself, the businessman, and the corporation.
Help!
All liability in case of accidental death or dismemberment to the essential.
Shocked, Mr. Prince watches. He stumbles backwards, knocking over the trash can. The pages of the story flutter out. The fox rushes out too, and Mr. Prince sees the story drawings. The teacher steps on them.
I said leave them! At your age, mister!
The fox hurries over to the girl, carrying a paperclip. He unfolds it and uses the sharp end to unlock her arm cuffs.
What are you doing?
He trips over the desk, trying to grab the girl.
Return to your desk, please.
The mechanical arms suddenly grab the teacher and haul him away. The jaw-like door slams closed. Mr. Prince controls the levers.
Oh, I didn't think that through. Oh, the businessman is going to be very disappointed in me.
Thank you. But why?
I never knew what this was, or where I even got it, but...
A drawing of a box with the air holes.
Huh? Your sheep.
My sheep? I don't get it.
The aviator gave it to you. In the desert, on Earth, to eat the baobabs.
Catastrophe.
Catastrophe. That's right. The aviator drew all of these for you. He really needs you right now.
Me? He needs me?
Growing up is not the problem. Forgetting is.
She picks up a page.
I have an idea. We're just gonna need... My plane!
In the other room, the plane is ready for the shredder.
There it is! It's okay.
It still hangs from a wire. They see a sailboat go in the shredder. Then the plane is next.
Ah! Hurry!
They run toward a tower where a man operates a shredder. The girl grabs a bowling ball. In the tower, the operator stops to pour a drink from a thermos. The girl climbs a ladder to the top, opens a hatch, and looks down at the operator as he pushes buttons. She drops a ball on his head and it bounces off his hard hat, knocking him out. The plane dangles on the wire.
Woo-hoo! We did it!
The man falls forward onto the controls and the systems start up again. The plane is slowly lowered toward the shredder. The girl and the fox jump down onto the controls, pushing the man aside.
Which button?
She pushes a button, but it makes things go faster. She tries all the buttons, and the fox pulls on levers. The plane hovers just above the shredder. Panicking, the girl pours out the man's thermos, dumping it across the buttons and controls. They spark and flash. The plane doesn't stop. The fox picks up the bowling ball, dropping it on the controls and smashing them. The shredder stops and the wire raises the plane back up.
Yes! We can catch it on the top of the next pile. Wait, where's Mr. Prince?
She finds Mr. Prince staring at an enormous glass dome with millions of stars inside.
I remember these.
The stars? What are they all doing here?
He closes his eyes and remembers. The prince and the aviator sit together stargazing.
The stars are beautiful because of a flower that cannot be seen.
Because of a flower that cannot be seen?
Your rose.
The bald businessman with a cluttered desk arrives.
I see you found my collection. 501,622,731 stars.
You? You did this? But you're supposed to just count the stars.
Own. Say it with me. Own. I own the stars.
Men in suits surround him.
They used to be merely little golden objects in the sky that set lazy men to idle dreaming. But now, the stars have finally been made essential.
Telescope.
Hey, where did you get that?
Oh, she's curious. Isn't that just like a child?
He tosses it in the shredder.
Whoa!
All right, enough.
Thank you.
All right.
The girl looks at the pile of paper clips.
What are you gonna do with all the stars?
Don't worry, my little girl. I put the stars to good use.
An operator turns on a machine. One of the stars is sucked out of the glass dome and through a pipe. Next, it's crushed into stardust. A burst of light comes out of the machine, runs along the floor, up metal towers, and lights up an office building. People sit at desks. As the crowded office lights up, they get to work using old typewriters.
You see, the inessential has become perfectly essential. How it should be for all things. Take her back to the classroom. Make sure no one interferes.
Stop it! Hurry down!
Stop wriggling!
Don't let them do this to me!
You don't get why.
Mr. Prince.
Wait? I've given you 371 jobs, and you have been fired from 370 of them. I think it's time you get back to work, my little failure.
No! Please, you've got to
stop wriggling. Stop! Take your hands off her.
What? Stop.
I'm not a failure.
Oh?
I'm the little prince.
What? He thinks he's little. And a prince!
Wonderful.
Look at me. I'm a bumblebee. What are you, a duck? He's hopeless.
I'm not hopeless. I'm hopeful. That's right. I'm full of hope. And I love a rose. And she loves me, and she's waiting for me. So, I don't think I want to work for you anymore.
He pulls off his ID badge.
I quit. I quit!
He stomps on the badge. The girl stomps on a man's foot. They both run, and the fox follows.
That pile!
In the dark, dingy factory, they climb up a pile of metal scraps and garbage to reach the airplane.
When are you going to forget about being a child?
Never!
She kicks a soccer ball, but it hits Mr. Prince in the head.
Sorry, Mr. Prince!
No, it's my fault. My face shouldn't have been there.
The businessman climbs after them. A mechanical claw whisks the plane away just before they reach the top of the garbage pile. The man gets closer.
I'm scared.
They hold hands and run down the other side of the pile and leap through the air, landing on the plane as it swings around. They shimmy along and make their way into the open cockpit. She starts the plane and flies it, but it's still attached to the mechanical claw. They spin around and around the dome of stars.
I'll be right back.
Where are you going?
Wait, what are you doing?
Holding a small sword, the girl climbs out and jumps off the plane.
That's not good.
She lands on the dome. She climbs up. Making her way to the very top, she stands up and shouts at the businessman and his workers.
I will grow up, and I will never be a grown-up like you!
She plunges the sword through the dome, shattering the glass. A star pops out. The girl clings onto it and floats for a moment before letting go and dropping back down, watching all the stars float up and away. Mr. Prince watches from the circling plane. The girl slips down into the broken dome, but the stars catch her and lift her up. She jumps from star to star, then slips and falls. Mr. Prince flies the plane and catches her on the wing.
Gotcha.
He pulls her into the cockpit. The stars continue to escape the dome, and the fox crawls up the cable to the mechanical claw and unfastens it.
I got you too.
The plane comes loose. Mr. Prince catches him. They fly free of the claw and head straight into the bright burst of starlight shining from the dome. They ride it like a wave. Finally, a manhole cover on a city street bursts open, and they shoot out along with all the stars. They blast straight toward the dark night sky. People in cars and on the street stop to stare as the stars fill the sky. The businessman looks outside.
This is very, very, very bad for business.
Mr. Prince.
That was amazing! Oh, the stars are back. I forgot how beautiful they are. Oh, and look! Asteroid 325!
You're remembering!
And 326! And 327! And 328!
It's working! It's working! Look! B612!
The Baobabs.
They circle around an asteroid planet covered in leafless vines.
Your Rose! She's there! Hold on!
Well, you're not gonna try and land, are you? No! Stop! Turn around! Stop!
She flies the plane straight up, the propeller facing the sky, until the engine stalls and the propeller stops.
What's happening? We're falling. Ah! Where are you going now?
Sit still.
She pulls the parachute and they float slowly down. They land on B612. They slowly get out of the plane.
Let's go.
They search around the dark, deserted asteroid, pushing through thick tree roots and vines. The girl finds an old shovel. Looking down a slope, she sees the dome of the Rose's container. The glass is dirty and overgrown with vines.
Over here, I found her!
She kneels beside it and the fox joins her.
Look.
My Rose.
Mr. Prince walks toward them slowly.
It's her.
He kneels down in front of the dome and touches the dirty glass gently. He carefully lifts the dome. Inside, the rose is dry, wilted, and a dark reddish black. He touches the brittle petals, and many fall off. He scoops up the dried petals, and they turn to dust and blow away.
Oh, how can this be? I am so sorry. You're supposed to be with her. I'm gonna lose him too. And grow up and forget all about him. Forget it all. Forever. I don't want to lose him.
Don't cry.
How can you not be crying?
Mr. Prince stands up and a bright light shines on his face. He closes his eyes and looks happy. The girl looks at him curiously, then sees the bright light in the sky. Her eyes widen as she watches the sky glow pink and yellow. She slides her hand into his. A bright burst of light, and then Mr. Prince is the little prince once again, young and blonde in his green jumpsuit and yellow scarf. The girl holds his hand.
I can see her. She was not a common rose. She was the only one of her kind in the whole universe. I remember her. I remember all of it. She's not gone. She's still here. It is only with the heart that one can see rightly. You'll always be with me. I understand now.
They stand together, the fox at their side, watching the glowing sky. Now the sky is bright and clear. A flock of birds tow the plane away on strings.
Please tell the aviator! I remember him!
I will!
Don't forget!
I won't! I won't forget any of it! I promise!
The prince waves as he watches the girl and the plane fly off. At home, the girl's mother lies in bed wide awake. She looks sad. She turns off her alarm watch, gets up, and walks down the hall to the girl's room. She opens the door and sees the bed hasn't been slept in and the window is wide open. She looks surprised. She leans out the window and sees the broken drain pipe lying over the hedge to the old man's yard.
Yeah?
Brushing her teeth.
We're late.
What? No, we're not.
We need to stop at the hospital before school.
At the hospital, they walk down the hall, checking room numbers. The girl holds the fox and the mother carries flowers. They stop outside a closed door.
Okay.
The girl waits, looking nervous. Her mother gives her a hug. They look at each other. Then the mother glances toward the door and hands her the flowers. The girl takes a deep breath, then opens the door. The old man lies in bed asleep. They walk in together holding hands. Then the girl stops and lets her hand slip away. She walks alone to the side of the old man's bed. She looks at his wrinkled face and long, bushy white beard. She puts the flowers in a vase on a bedside table. He wakes up.
You're here.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for what I said.
I don't even remember.
That's sweet.
No, I don't even remember who you are. Gotcha, didn't I?
I've got something to show you.
She passes him a present wrapped in star-covered paper. He unwraps it to find a large book called The Little Prince. The front cover shows a prince standing on his asteroid planet.
You did this?
He opens it. The girl has bound all the story pages together into a book.
All my drawings, all in order.
He looks through the writing and drawings.
This is so wonderful.
Looking at him, she starts to cry.
Oh, sweetheart.
You run the risk of weeping a little if you let yourself get tamed.
She puts her head on his chest.
You're gonna make a wonderful grown-up.
Her mother stands in the room watching as the girl wipes tears from her cheeks as the old man gently strokes her hair.
Thank you.
Did you see this?
He offers the book to the mother. She walks over to the bed.
It's wonderful.
Look, you see? That's the fox.
She shows her mother the fox drawing, then her stuffed fox. A flock of birds fly through the sky, then over the old man's house. Day turns into night. Next door, the girl and her mother come up onto their flat roof. A telescope and two chairs are set up. They sit together and the mother looks through the telescope. The girl laughs and takes off the lens cap. They both giggle. The mother stargazes through the telescope as the girl flips through the pages of the prince book, then holds it close to her chest. The mother cradles the fox. The girl snuggles in close, and they hug each other. A star dangles from the sky on a string. Caption, fin. Credits, directed by Mark Osborne. Original screenplay by Irina Brignall and Bob Persichetti. Based on Le Petit Prince by Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. With the voice of Jeff Bridges as the old man, Rachel McAdams as the mother, Paul Rudd, James Franco, Marion Cotillard, Benicio del Toro, Ricky Gervais, Bud Cort, Paul Giamatti. Introducing Riley Osborne as the Little Prince, with Albert Brooks and Mackenzie Foy as the girl. In a Worth Academy classroom, the girl stands at the chalkboard. She draws a hat, then turns to look at the teacher and the other students.
You probably think this is a hat, but it's not.
They listen wide-eyed as she tells her story. Credits, produced by Dimitri Rassam, Eitan Sumash, and Alexis Vonarb. An On Animation studio production in association with National Acclaim. Music by Hans Zimmer and Richard Harvey, featuring Camille. Executive producers Jinko Goto, Mark Osborne, Moritz Bormann, Thierry Pasquet, Paul Rassam, Michael Flaherty, and Chip Flaherty. Production design by Lou Romano and Celine Desrumeau. Character design by Peter Desev and Barthélemy Monouri. Edited by Matthew Landon and Carol Cravat-Zakanian. Stop motion creative director Jamie Callery. Stop motion production design, Alexander Juhas. Stop motion lead animator, Anthony Scott. Stop motion art director, Corinne Merrill. Visual effects supervisor, Pascal Bertrand. CG animation supervisor, Rashid Cheek. Animation director, Jason Boose. CG character supervisor, Hide Yosumi. CG cinematography, Chris Kapp and Adele Abada. Stereography, John Brooks and Olivier Rakoto. CGI art director, Cedric Schmidt. Character look development supervisor, Stephanie Biode. Props and sets look development supervisor, Vincent Tonelli. Character effects supervisor, Jeremy Ringard. Final layout supervisor, Arnaud Cesson. Line producers, Jean-Bernard Marinot and Camille Salucci. CG producer, Lawrence Percani. Stop motion production supervisor, Jocelyn Perrier. Supervising editor, Tim Nielsen. Supervising sound editor, Christopher Barnett. Associate producers, Bryce Gardiner and Olivier Rakoto. Co-produced by Orange Studio, LLP TV, M6 Films, with the participation of Canal, M6, and W9. Casting by Sarah Finn. A film by Mark Osborne. Copyright Le Petit Prince, 2015, LLP TV, Little Princess on Entertainment, Orange Studio, M6 Films. Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.